Whether you are khalashing for khalas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and thank you for joining me on this warm summer's day. Admittedly, I have been in the freezing cold for the past few weeks. As I mentioned before, I was blessed with another little Lurie bird, and so I went over to London for the Bris and to help my family out. And making heartwarming winter meals and suddenly having to come back to salad days and ice cold smoothies is quite a shift in dietary dynamics. But I'm here, the holiday season's coming up, and wherever you are in the world, whether you're going to the warm side of the globe or the cold, we're going to be celebrating 8 days of Hanukkah, punked in the middle of the festive season. 8 days of Hanukkah to celebrate with family and friends. Now, I know social media is full of Chrismukkah, with some even saying that they are decorating a tree with Hanukkah decorations. Well, each to his own, but I have my very own strong feelings about this. But let's celebrate Hanukkah. It's a wonderful time of the year. Always love those beautiful blue boxes of coloured candles. Love creating latkes. Love getting my menorah out and polishing it. And convincing myself, of course, that anything fried is negated calorie-wise because it's Hanukkah. And as for the obligatory burn on the hand from the hot oil, we still carry on, bandages and all, singing Mao Tzu around the flames and getting giving Hanukkah guilt in our case, and finding the best bakery that pumps the most jam into those donuts. And of course, all the beautiful little menorahs that our kids have made over the years at school with nuts and bolts, and just enjoying Hanukkah as a family. Passing on memories to the next generation. Isn't that what it's all about? After the break, we'll be chatting to Chantal Lascaris about her new book, All Sorts of Junk Food Made Healthy. As well as holiday tips, and I'll be sharing some Hanukkah recipes for the festive season and a few things lined up after the break.
Whether you are khalashing for khalas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm going to be sharing some holiday tips with you. And Kosher SA have actually provided us with a holiday guide. Now, this includes how to kosher common items and useful things to remember when you're traveling. They've also created a map of all the kosher food services on the coast, and this will help you make holiday meal preparations a breeze. So you can go to their site, koshersa.com, and you'll find all sorts of interesting and wonderful information, as well as some lovely new things that have come on the market, lovely new kosher products such as rusks. I'm so excited. I mean, rusks are a staple in any South African home. In fact, we were sitting at Shul on Shabbos at the Bruch, and we were all discussing rusks, and people were offering recipes, and it's good to know that we have another option since Bocomo left our shelves. Anyway, take a look at the new products that they have out. I mean, there's maple syrup, which after trying recently in London, I realized that this was super delicious. And you got to try maple syrup. And as for the increased 1701 products, a whole new world of biscuits, peanut brittle, and nougat. So before I start with Hanukkah recipes, I have to share what I've been doing the last week. I've been clearing out my cupboard, finding all sorts of beans and barley, and decided with my leftover roast chicken from Friday night, I was going to make a lovely thick cream of chicken soup with beans and barley and mushrooms and pasta. Basically, anything that would make this a hearty meal rather than a soup. So it was surprisingly comforting, very filling, and just what the doctor ordered. And then my daughter walked in and she said, "Ma, how can you make soup in this hot, hot weather?" But I can eat soup all through summer. I just love soup. So if you're like me and you can eat soup morning, noon and night, then this is what you will need for this soup recipe. Creamy chicken soup. Okay, 2 onions, finely chopped. 4 sticks of celery, also finely chopped. 2 cups of shredded skin off chicken. You can use what you had left over from Shabbos or a meal. 1 cup of dried barley. 1 cup of dried cannellini beans. 1 tin of mushrooms. 3 chicken stock cubes. 2 cups of dried pasta. I like the penne, but you can use whatever you want. I just found that the penne holds shape better. 1 packet of Imana cream of chicken soup, the powder, which you can get Kosher World. 1/2 teaspoon of white pepper. And of course, at the end, you'll check for salt. I added a bay leaf as well because I like to cook with bay leaves. I just think it brings out the flavor. So you can... You fry the chopped onions in a little oil together with the finely sliced celery, and you cook it until soft but not brown. Then you add the shredded deboned chicken. You can use, if you want to, you can use, get a couple of drumsticks or breasts and just shred that up, depending on what part of the chicken you like. And you add 2 liters of water and you bring that to the boil. You add the barley, cannellini beans and the mushrooms with their liquid into the pot. Then you allow this to boil over heat with the lid lying loosely on top for at least 4 hours until the barley is soft and the beans are soft. And what you can do if you want to, which I found a little easier, was you can fry the onions and celery, then transfer it to a crock pot, and leaving it on high, add the water, the barley, the beans, and the mushrooms, and you boil it for about 2 to 3 hours until you see that it starts to boil, and then you turn it down to low for about, I'd say about 6 hours. Now, you may need to add a bit of water, as if you would add water while it was cooking on the stove, because on the stove it tends to evaporate a lot more. In your crock pot, it won't evaporate that much. And you can finally add the chicken stock, the cubes, the pasta, and the packet of cream of chicken soup with the pepper towards the end. And if you're cooking it in the crock pot, you can add it about an hour before, an hour to an hour and a half before it should be ready. And you carefully leave it cooking until the pasta is soft. And at this point, you check for salt. Pasta does seem to absorb quite a lot of the spices and the soup mix and all that. But check and see if you need more salt. Now, it will be a thick soup, but that's the fun. And that's what it's all about. It's a thick bean, barley and pasta soup. And as I said, it's a meal on its own. Now, if you want to make it quick, a quick soup, then leave out the barley because that's the thing that takes quite a long time to boil and cook through. And just use tinned beans. You can use butter beans, you can use cannellini beans, whatever you want. And that's your beautiful thick cream of chicken soup. And I want to tell you, for those that are traveling, a crock pot, oh, it's the best thing for lazy days. I mean, you go out in the morning, stick all your ingredients into your crock pot, whatever you feel like making, whether it's brisket, whether it's a soup, no matter what you're going to make, stick it in your crock pot. You come home at 5:30, 6 o'clock, whenever, and you've got a beautiful homemade meal waiting for you. Amasa, I love this quick and easy recipe for a pickled brisket. And that is, it's 1/2 cup of tomato sauce or ketchup for those listening overseas, 1/2 cup of vinegar, 1/2 cup of apple juice, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 1/4 cup of honey, and 5 or 6 cloves of garlic crushed, and just a pinch of salt. And you can add a pinch of pepper if you want. And what I sometimes do is add potatoes as well. I then stick it in the crock pot and I let it cook the whole day or overnight if you want to. And you have a lovely meal waiting for you when you come home. After the break, we'll be chatting to Chantal Lascaris, the author of the All Sorts of series. And her new book is entitled Junk Food Made Healthy. So let's see what Chantal has to say after the break.
Whether you are halishing for halas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bargatti. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I will be talking to a very special guest, Chantal Lascaris. Yes, she is the wife of the maven of advertising, Reg Lascaris, and she is the author behind the successful series of All Sorts Of, which includes All Sorts Of Salads, All Sorts Of Tapas, One Dish Wonders, just to name a few. And although she prefers to call herself a home cook rather than a chef, she's always been interested in nutrition and health. And so when I saw the title of this book, All Sorts Of Junk Food Made Healthy, it caught my eye, because this is definitely me. My weakness is everything, in inverted commas, junk. I love pizzas, burgers, ice cream, you name it. But this book offers everything from snacks to chicken, to meat dishes, to the most incredible desserts. And the best part of it is that it's not a diet book. I mean, those diet books that we look at and we say, okay, when I'm ready to diet, I'll grab that. But it's a book about enjoying your favorite foods with a more healthy twist. Well, I'm sure you're all dying to hear about that recipe for cheesecake. So this is how the recipe goes. Rich and creamy and oh so dreamy can only mean one thing. Cheesecake. With its smooth and slightly tangy filling nestling in a golden crunchy crust, you've got a decadent and indulgent dessert that is high up on the calorie counter when it comes to fats and sugars. This is where all the clever substitutes come in, such as mayonnaise in the crust instead of butter, fat-free smooth cottage cheese, and a low-fat cream cheese option. So you will need a packet of Mari biscuits, 1 by 200 grams, 3/4 cup of light tangy mayonnaise, 1 by 230 grams of tub of low-fat cream cheese, which you must leave at room temperature, 1 by 230 grams of fat-free smooth cottage cheese at room temperature, 1/2 cup of low-fat plain yogurt, 1/2 cup Greek-style yogurt, and 1/4 cup of granulated sweetener, 2 eggs, 1 tablespoon of vanilla essence, yes, a tablespoon, not a teaspoon, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And then you can put berries on or edible flowers to decorate it. You preheat your oven to 180 and you grease a 23 centimeter baking dish. Using a rolling pin, you crush the Mari biscuits, and they shouldn't be too fine, and you pour that into a bowl. You add the mayonnaise and stir it to combine. You press the biscuit mixture evenly onto the base of the baking sheet. Then using a hand blender, mix together the cream cheese, cottage cheese, both types of yogurt, and the sweetener. You add the eggs, vanilla essence, and salt, and you beat it together. And you pour the mixture over the crust. You bake it for approximately 45 minutes. You open the oven door and leave it open with the cheesecake inside for 30 minutes. And then you remove it, place it on a wire rack to cool, then you decorate it with your berries or your edible flowers. There are so many more decadent recipes. Pecanut pie, donuts, chocolate brownies, which I believe are incredible. I haven't made them yet. Maybe I'll make them for Shabbos. There's just so many beautiful recipes in this book, which you can get at your favorite bookstore or on Amazon. Good morning and welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, Chantel. I know you are extremely busy, but thank you for sharing some time with us. So I know that you're a bit of a serial entrepreneur, selling homemade balm at the age of 13. And briefly, take us through your life since, up to today.
Oh my gosh.
Just briefly.
Very briefly. Well, I always had a love of clothing and fashion. So when I left school, I was still making clothes for people on the side. But I then worked in advertising for a while and then thought, no, I really must follow my dream of loving clothes. And I had a factory and I made mainly uniforms for hotels and some fast food chains. But that's quite a tough business to be in. And eventually my husband said, you know, you're working too hard. I never see you. You're on an aeroplane all the time. So I think it's time to move on. And I was devastated when he said that to me. But he was right. Yeah. And that took me onto my adventure of writing cookbooks, because I didn't really know what to do with myself. You know, I'd been a businesswoman for so long, you know, suddenly sitting at home, I got very bored. So he sort of jokingly said, well, why don't you write a cookbook? And I said, goodness me, a cookbook. He said, yeah, but you make great salads. And I thought, oh, okay. And, you know, not knowing any better, I put a little proposal together, sent it off to Penguin Random House, and they accepted it. So that was the start of this adventure.
And you've produced, what are we, on to our seventh book now?
This is the sixth book.
Sixth book.
So five in the All Sorts series. Yes. And then I've also got a hardcover book, The Ultimate Salad Book.
Ah, okay. Okay. So now, I read this book the whole weekend. And you have a few interesting substitutes. Like, butter for you is definitely a no-no in your book.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
And you use a lot of low-fat or light mayonnaise, which yes. seems to be a popular substitute in a few of your recipes. I mean, I would never have thought of a cheesecake with mayonnaise.
Well, nor did I. Let me tell you, that was a very big surprise for me as well. But it actually has worked incredibly well. And I use it for any butter substitute. I think if you're using too much butter, if you're using a huge amount of butter, then perhaps the mayonnaise isn't the right substitute. But, you know, smaller quantities, it works really, really well. And I use lighter mayonnaise because it's lower in fat.
Yes.
And that really helps when you're comparing the calories to like a tablespoon of butter versus a tablespoon of light mayo. There is quite a big difference. So the book was all about following, or sort of, I kind of joke and say it's about chasing calories. So I'm trying to bring the calorie count down on the foods. And I'm doing that through trying to lower the fat and trying to lower the sugar content of the recipes.
And what would be a healthy substitute in your eyes for sugar?
I have found a product called sucralose, which is actually a very good substitute. It doesn't leave any sort of aftertastes, you know, like stevia tends to do, and some people don't like it. But things like xylitol, a lot of people, their stomachs get aggravated by it. And I don't mean to say anyone's specific name, but Hewlett's are doing a almost like a one-to-one baking sugar, which has worked really well. Yes. And I have asked them, they've sent me all the details on the scientific side of it, and it does seem to be a fairly good substitute for sugar.
Right. And what would be a healthy substitute for milk to keep a dish dairy free?
Probably use things like coconut milk.
You're right.
The problem with trying to find something that's dairy free is, so almond milk would be a good option, or oat milk, but yeah, you do have that slight taste difference. So it depends on what you're using it for.
Yes, and because I know that the gyms make a light coconut milk, which would probably be a good substitute. And and what other nice substitutes have you come up with, like for a pizza base, let's say?
So for me, my books are all about ease and, you know, not sitting, standing in the kitchen having to slave away for hours.
Right.
So one of the things that always puts me off about making pizza is having to make my own dough, because I think life's too short to be rolling out my own dough, and I never get it as thin as I want it to be anyway.
Right.
So the alternative I found is actually pita breads. I slice them in half, sort of horizontally, so you've got a lovely half, you've got your full circle.
Yes.
And it works really well as a base because it gives you that crunch. And it works really, really well. The other one for a pizza base is a wrap. If you want that extra crispy, thin base, then a wrap works really well.
Right. Okay. And then our pastas, you suggest we go for a whole wheat pasta, whole wheat burger buns.
Yes, I think because it, you know, if you're using something that's whole wheat, it's a lot less refined.
Right.
So from a health perspective, it's much better for you than doing the far more refined version. So your normal pastas have been refined quite a lot, whereas the whole wheat, you're at least getting a few more good nutrients in while still having that, you know, having your craving satisfied by still being able to eat pasta.
Right. And just your feelings on air fryers?
I've been quite slow to the whole trend of air fryers.
I have too. I must admit, I have too.
I used them for a very long time just to do oven chips. And that was the sum total of my use of the air fryer.
Yes.
And slowly but surely, I've been trying it more and more. And I actually found that for a lot of my recipes for the Junk Food Made Healthy book, the air fryer worked really well because it gives you that crunch that you're looking for. And for me, it's maybe just a little bit quicker in the air fryer because the oven also does the work for you, but you don't have to maybe keep it in the oven for as long, and you don't have to warm up your oven, as you know, which takes up more electricity.
Right. Talking about crunch, you say you like to use cornflake. Is it cornflake crumbs that you like to use?
It's cornflakes. Yeah. So what I do is I buy the good old normal cornflakes from the grocery store.
Right.
And I use a rolling pin and I put them in a Ziploc bag, and I just break them down and roll them into what I would call like breadcrumbs. And they're fabulous because often if you're using other forms of a crust, then the color isn't there because you get a lot of that lovely golden color from the frying. And that, of course, is a big no-no in my book because it's so unhealthy.
Yeah.
So using cornflakes already gives you that gorgeous golden color, and you can use it without having to deep fry it.
Right. I mean, when I read, my first thing that I do whenever I read a recipe book, I go straight to the desserts. So you must know I'm a real junkie. Anyway, so
I think we all are, let me tell you.
Yeah, somewhere hidden deep. And I went to your desserts section and it blew me away. I mean, chocolate milkshakes. Please share how you make these wonderful chocolate milkshakes.
That's actually really, really simple. And it's actually a very healthy way of doing it because I use protein shakes. And they, you know, so they're really good for you because you're getting in that extra protein. So find a protein shake that you actually like. And then it's very simple. It's just using things like using your yogurt. I use a lot of yogurt in my recipes because it's a great substitute for cream. So in this recipe, it's a great substitute for ice cream. and you're still getting all that creaminess that you would get from ice cream, but you're getting it in the yogurt and in some low-fat milk. So I like to use Greek-style yogurts because you get a few more probiotics in it. And a lot of people that are lactose intolerant evidently can eat Greek yogurt. So that's why I sometimes say use Greek yogurt because a lot more people can handle it, and it's also got a lot of nutrients in it.
Right. And then you say you freeze the milk, am I right?
Yes. Right. So, you know, you can't just make it immediately, but it works really, really well. So what I like to do is I take the milk and I pour it into ice trays.
Yes.
My ice trays are my best friend in my house because I put a lot of freeze a lot of things in them. So freeze your milk in the ice trays. And then when you're ready, then if you want to make one milkshake, you just take out a few ice cubes. And then you just put it into a high speed blender, whichever one you have, and just really give it a good old blitz. And you've got yourself a chocolate milkshake.
Wow. Amazing. And as for the kiddie slushy, I mean, this weather is just perfect for the kiddie slushy. And all made with jelly.
Exactly.
No sugar.
I use sugar-free jelly powder. So there you can use whatever flavor you like. If you want strawberry or, the green colors or the blue colors, I never know what flavors they all are.
Yes.
But that works really well. And then I use soda water in it also.
Yes.
And it works quite well. And you can do all different flavors.
Well, I'm going to be making that for my grandson when he comes home from school today. And I'm trying the cheesecake. Oh, boy, I'm going to be very busy in this kitchen. And the photos are beautiful. I mean, it just makes you so hungry. And you said that ice cubes are your ice trays are your best friend. But what else is your best friend in the kitchen?
One of my go-to gadgets is my garlic crusher.
Mm-hmm.
I really love using that a lot. I cook a lot with garlic. I do a lot of sort of Mediterranean-style cooking.
Yes.
So it's kind of garlic is a sort of integral part of my food. So that garlic crusher works really well for me.
Right. How do you like to entertain? Do you like to entertain sort of a brunch meal, al fresco? What do you enjoy doing?
So we do, obviously, with weather like this and with the holidays, then it's obviously a braai is always the best. And you'll find at my braais, you'll get a lot of extra salads because I've made a few salads in my time now with two salad books behind me.
Yes.
And that's really because I don't necessarily like lettuce. So I try and find salads that are a little different.
Yes.
And that, so you'll see, always find a lot of salads when I do some entertaining. And then I also, what I found working quite well for me now is like a charcuterie board and where people can just help themselves. And that works quite well. I sometimes do that in the evenings after a dinner and I just do cheese. Then I'll put cheese and sweets onto the same plate. So onto the same board, and then people can help themselves.
Right. Okay, well, with all these wonderful tips, I'm really going to be enjoying my junk food made healthy. And I cannot wait to try some of these recipes. And thank you so much for joining us, Chantelle.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Okay. Enjoy the rest of the holidays and the season, your festive season, and have a wonderful few weeks.
You too. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
So I've decided that we are going to go a little South African, a little more traditional this year for Hanukkah. And I'll be making curried mince stuffed vetkoek or megwinya. And this is my quick and easy go-to recipe for vetkoek, which is the Afrikaans word for fat cakes, or how would I describe it, more like fried balls of yeast dough. They're called megwinya in Zulu, and it's all over the world. They've got different names for this unsweetened round donut. So all you have to do is fill them with savory mince. You go down to Pick and Pay and you can get them at the kosher bakery, and they're called megwinya. And if they haven't got them, ask them please to make them for you. So I've got six fish cook, six McGuinea. And what I did was chopped up one large onion, half a teaspoon of freshly crushed garlic, half a kilo of beef minced meat, one tablespoon of your favorite curry spice, and a cup of frozen corn. Now, I preheated the oven to 170 because you don't want to burn the McGuinea because they're already cooked. So I fried the onion and the garlic in a little bit of oil, added the mincemeat and the curry spice and mixed it well together, added the frozen corn, continued to cook until the meat and everything was hot and cooked through, and then took it off the heat. Sliced the fish cook 3/4 of the way through, and you can spoon out a little bit of the inside, the dough, if you want to. Otherwise, you can just put all the mince into the fish cook. And then I placed them in a preheated oven and I cooked them for about 15 minutes until the fish cook was so nice and crispy. But you've got to watch them because you don't want them to burn. Remember that if you're going to cook the mince and immediately stuff the fish cook, then remember that the meat is hot already. So you're just waiting for the fish cook to crisp up a little. And then I just served them with store-bought sweet chili sauce. And then, of course, while on the subject of a typical South African Chanukah, let's chat chili bites. Not the biltong chili bites. This is the Cape Malay deep-fried chili bites. So in the times of the temple, oil that should have lasted only one day miraculously lasted eight. So it's customary to eat foods fried in oil over this period to symbolize this miracle. The Festival of Lights, which is anything but light, L-I-T-E, calorie-wise, allows us to eat all the lovely fried foods without any guilt. Now this little bit opposite to my interview. Anyway, Chanukah normally falls over our summer holidays towards the end of the year. So we often combine Chanukah with an end of the year party, which gives me the opportunity to take out my deep fryer and my frying pans for latkes and fish cook and donuts and making my slap chips, of course, and chili bites. So, as we know, Cape Malay culture significantly influenced South Africa's wide variety of culinary delights. And chili bites are often served as an accompaniment to curries. Now, they may vary a little in texture and flavor from one person to the other, but a friend of mine who lived in Cape Town arranged for me to watch her incredible cook make these chili bites. And just by the way, her curries were superb as well. But this is her version of chili bites. So I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. 1 cup of chickpea flour, 1.5 cups of cake flour, 1 onion very finely chopped or grated, 250 grams of baby spinach, a baby spinach leaves finely shredded, 2 teaspoons crushed dried chilies, 1 heaped finely chopped fresh chili, 1 teaspoon paprika spice, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon turmeric, 1 teaspoon ground coriander, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, water to mix it all together, oil for deep frying, and 1 teaspoon of baking powder. So you sift the flours into a large bowl. Okay, now we're not going to add the baking powder just yet. We add it at the end. And you mix the onions, the spinach, the chilies, paprika salt, turmeric, everything, the coriander and the cumin, and you add enough water to make a firmish kind of batter. Okay, the batter mustn't be runny. It must be more like a sort of firm cake batter, firm enough to be scooped up in a tablespoon and placed into the hot oil. So we heat the oil in a deep frying pan until fairly hot. And then we finally stir the baking powder into the batter just before frying, mixing it well. Using a tablespoon, we drop the batter into the oil and fry slowly until golden brown. Now ensure that the oil doesn't get too hot. Otherwise, what happens is the chili bites will burn on the outside and remain raw in the middle. So you can test this with a toothpick. And once golden brown on all sides, they should be ready. You can remove them from the heat and drain on absorbent kitchen paper and serve them warm with a store-bought sweet chili sauce. Now, what I did once was I made them really tiny, I mean less than a teaspoon, and I made tiny little chili bites, and I served that over a cabbage salad, which went down quite well. You can also push it through a, if you've got one of those spoons, slotted spoons, you know, with the little holes in it, you can also pour the batter through that and they come up like little crumbles. And you can throw that over a curry if you want to. It's really delicious. It gives lovely texture to your curries. I'm going to share another recipe, an old recipe of my mother's, which may seem very patskadek, but it's not. It's really quite easy. It's potato and feta balls. And what you'll need is 500 grams of potato, 1 cup mashed potato. Okay, so we're going to grate the 500 grams of potato, and then we're going to make up a cup of mashed potato. And what I used was 2 really big potatoes, and mash that up. So you'll need 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, black pepper, and you'll need about 180 grams of feta. If it's 200 grams of feta, it's also right. 3 tablespoons of chopped chives. If you can't get chopped chives, then I just use spring onions. And finely chop them, and you need 3 tablespoons of that. 1 egg, lightly beaten, with 1 tablespoon of water. You may need to use another egg, but you'll see how you go. 3/4 cup of breadcrumbs, oil for frying, and sour cream to serve with them. So using a coarse grater, you grate your potatoes and you transfer them to a medium bowl, and you add your mashed potato, salt and pepper, and you mix it well. Now the coarse potato, grated potatoes, please squeeze out all that excess juice. Otherwise they're going to be very sloppy, the balls. Now in a separate bowl, you need a few bowls, but you'll understand why. In a separate bowl, small bowl, you mix the feta and the chives with a fork. Just mix it all up and into together. Then in another bowl, you mix the beaten egg with the water. Then you put the breadcrumbs into another bowl. Sounds like who's frying chicken strips or fish. Then you line a tray with parchment paper, and then line another second tray with paper towel. Use your hands to form about a 3 centimeter, just smaller than a golf ball size of potato mix. And then with your index finger or your thumb, create a small well in the ball and fill it with that feta. And then seal the ball back up and roll the ball back within your hands and form it into a nice shape. Then you dip it in the egg wash, then in the breadcrumbs, and you put it on the tray. And you repeat with the rest of the mashed potato. Heat your frying pan or your pot, whatever you're using, with oil. And it can reach 325 degrees, but if you haven't got a thermometer, then just take a little bit of the mashed potato and throw it in and see, you know, if it bubbles up. And you fry these balls for about 10 to 12 minutes and until they're a lovely golden brown. And that's the story with these beautiful feta and potato balls. Well, it looks like I've run out of time. It was lovely being with you. Hope you have a wonderful Hanukkah. And if you're going on holiday, have a beautiful holiday. And hope to speak to you and be with you soon.